alone. For my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the crowns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name.
Thank you, Ariel. Let's stand up this morning, and we're going to read in Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, and we'll start in verse number 1. Of course, this being the end of the year, and tomorrow being the beginning of the year, of course, we're thinking about what we can do in our lives to have a better year. I want to help us with that in the few minutes I have this morning. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude in fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray in the few minutes that we have that you would bless us and help us to get the thought. Prepare us to have a great, great year. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, the new year is upon us. The world likes to make what they call resolutions. They look at things in their life that they would like to add. They look at things in their life that maybe, you know, they didn't quite get to, and it's like, I'm going to do it this year. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think all of us ought to look at our lives, really daily, but as we're at the end of the year, and look forward and say, you know, what do I need to do next year? What didn't work so well this year? People want hope. There's an author and a consultant. His name is Stephen Shapiro, and he wrote an article, and he offered a few things. He said 45% of Americans usually set New Year's resolutions. 17% infrequently set them. 8% are successful in achieving their resolutions. Now think about that. It's less than 1 in 10. See, we all have good intentions. We all want good things to happen. But if good things are going to happen, if change is going to happen, then we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to look at what we've been doing. We need to look at what hasn't been working. And we need to plan for that which we want to work. How does that tie in with this story? I have no idea. Just kidding. The time of this story, Jesus is out. He comes across some fishermen, Peter and his crew. There's a crowd there, so he borrows Peter's boat to take him out a few feet off the shore so he can speak to the crowd. When he's done, he tells Peter, he says, take the ship out, launch it out, and throw down your nets, and you're going to catch some fish. Now, Peter says to the Lord, because, you know, he's maybe thinking the Lord didn't know what he was talking about, you know, we've already worked all night long, and we caught nothing. Jesus said, that's fine. Just do it anyhow. And he takes his boat out. He launches it, and he lays down the net. Jesus said, throw your nets. He throws one, kind of like, you know, how a lot of us are sometimes. We kind of halfway obey, right? And he pulls in a great drought of fishes, so much that they had to call to their partners and say, hey, come over here and help us get these fish. See, Peter's plan, Peter's method, what they had done the night before didn't work. It produced zero results. They were fishermen by trade. This was planned out. They put a lot of effort in. They went out there prepared. And yet, nothing. You ever feel like that? You ever go fishing and catch nothing? Go with Brother Ross. Brother Ross is a good fisherman. He doesn't act like he is, but I've been with him on the river, and I'm not good. I'm there, and I'm like, you got to help me. And he'll set me up, and I'll cast right here. And we're at the lake up in Bishop, and he was 5 feet away from me. I was catching nothing, and he caught some fish. And I said, let's switch sides, right? We switched sides, and I caught nothing, and he caught a fish. And I said, it's time to go, okay? This is ridiculous. But you put the effort in. You try to do something, and yet nothing happens. Well, I hope that you don't want that to happen in 2018. Maybe we look back at 2017 and we say, you know, my relationships just weren't quite what I wanted them to be. Maybe your job or your career, whatever you're doing, it's like that just didn't work and pan out the way I wanted it to pan out. Maybe you look at your family and say, it's okay, but it's just not going completely the way that I want it to go. You just name it, problems, trials. Maybe you have a weakness in your life that you're struggling with, and it just seems that you just can't get it. You just can't work your way through it. You feel like Peter. We toiled all night, and we caught nothing. If things are going to be different in 2018 than they were in 2017, there's two things you need to do. First of all, you need to have an evaluation of the past. What happened this year and why didn't it work? And then with God's help, you need to have some expectations for the future. And the few minutes I have, I want us to look at that. First of all, I want you, all of us should have an evaluation of what didn't succeed. What didn't work? As we look in this story, where professional fishermen caught nothing, we see some of the things they did that maybe didn't work. They depended on a collective group effort. He said, "Master, we have toiled all night." He wasn't out there working on his own. The group was out there working together. Sometimes we think because there's a group that things will work better. Well, that depends on one thing. Who is your group? Too many people get counsel from the wrong crowd. Bible still tells us we're being careful. If you look in Psalm 1 about the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Too many people do. It's a shame that people who call themselves Christians, who claim to love Jesus Christ, too much of what they believe, too much of what they try to implement comes from some godless news network, some unsaved talk show host. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're getting help, if you're getting the wrong kind of help. Well, you know, I read this self-help book. I read one every day. It's called the Bible, okay? And it's not a self-help book, okay? Self-help doesn't work. But who are you getting your counsel from? By the way, well-meaning people will tell you what to do. It used to always crack me up when I'd be in the world and we'd be working, you're in a break room, and here's a guy giving another guy marriage advice. Well, let me tell you what I'd tell my old lady, and he's on his third wife. Okay, that's not success. Be very careful who we're depending on. And by the way, we live in a time when the pressure is not for Christians, it's actually against Christians. And they'll mock your beliefs at your work, and that's okay. Don't be mean-spirited. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't be any of that. But understand, they don't know the Lord. And by the way, never be surprised when someone who's not a Christian acts like someone who's not a Christian. Well, I'll tell that person off. Listen, they don't know the Lord. That's not going to help anything. But on the other hand, don't listen to the nonsense. The group effort wasn't helping. They had a lot of people out there. They also were relying on their great effort. We have toiled all night. I mean, these guys didn't go out there and just go out there, drop the net one time and say, that didn't work, let's call it a night. They toiled. They worked. These guys were hard-working fellas. They put the effort in. The problem is the effort wasn't working. You can be the hardest working person in the world and still it won't work out if you're doing the wrong thing. You know what they say sometimes? Don't work harder, work smarter. Sharpen your axe. Too many of us are trying to fix things in our life and we're swinging with a dull axe and it's not working. By the way, people should be commended because they are doing, but they're not doing the right thing. So effort's important, but it's more important that we put the right kind of effort in. I love the verse in Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt, not sharp, and he do not whet the edge, sharpen it, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. The duller the axe, the more you got to work, and the harder you got to work, and the less results you will get. You ever work on a project, and I think we all do this, we're like putting a screw in or something, it's like we don't have time to go grab, it's just one screw, right? We don't have time to go grab the screwdriver, we'll figure another way to put it in. And we sit there, and we work on it, and finally it's like, that's dumb, let's go get the right tool. I used to work for my dad at his auto shop, and I'd be doing something. Something would be rusted, and I'm just trying to break it free. My dad would always get irritated, come in and say, and I'd use the wrong tool. You know, I get a screwdriver, and I'm trying to bang stuff. He goes, use the tool for what it was designed to be used for, and things will go better. But we put the effort in, but it's not the right effort. And then we trust in the fact that we're doing something long term. He said, we toiled all night. I mean, they just kept going at it and kept going at it and kept going at it and kept going at it. And it's not working. It was Einstein that said, insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. By the way, if you want to get better, if you want to improve anything in your life, if you want to grow in your faith and you feel like you did not grow last year, you can't keep doing the same thing you were doing last year and miraculously expect things to get better. Well, you know, I just felt like I'm not as close to God. I know I'm not reading my Bible every day like I should. Stop right there. Then maybe that's where you need to get going. I want to be with the Lord this year, and I want God to be a part of my life. Then you can't be inconsistent in your church attendance like you were last year. I mean, I want God to do something in my life. Then you can't continue to do what you did last year. You got to step it up and do the right things. Well, you know, I give God his time, and I show up, you know, when I can. That's not going to cut it. I read my Bible when I have time. Nobody has time. You don't find the time to do the things you're supposed to do. You have to make time. You say, well, you know, look, let's just lay it out here for you, okay? I want to be healthier this year. I want to lose some weight, and I want to be in shape. All right, let me ask you a few questions. Number one, when are you going to exercise? When I can get around to it. You're not, right? Look at, I've tried that. Get around to it. You never do get around to it. You ever seen the little things that are like a little wooden quarter and it's round and it says to it on it? That's a round to it. Get it? You know? And by the way, well, I'm going to be healthier. You're not going to be healthier eating at McDonald's. In fact, you'll die earlier. You will die earlier. And you look like it. Okay? You just walked right into that one, cowboy. It sure was for me. But listen, if you want to change that, then what are you doing to change it? You've got to set a plan in place. You can't just keep going and doing the same thing that you did. And also, if we're not going to change, we cannot accept the result of fruitless labor. They left content with having nothing. That's what I don't understand about people in this life. They are so content to settle for second best. They are so content to settle for fruitless life when God offers a fruitful life. We're content just to be Christians without being close to God or having a close relationship with Him, without Him being a part of our life. You know, we're content to be married without having a close relationship with our spouse. We're content to have children running around the house without ever spending time with them or trying to be a father or a mother. We get content with these fruitless things, and we're just making it from day to day to day to day. Listen, don't be content with second best. If God offers something better, take it. God does offer something better, but you have to put the effort in. So you got to evaluate what didn't work last year. Then we must set an expectation of what can succeed this year. Now, Peter gives Jesus the sob story. We've toiled, got nothing, it's not working, we're calling it a day. Well, things changed. How did things change? Well, first of all, Christ was involved. Jesus gets involved. He says, okay, I know what you did before, but take the ship, go out there, and do what I said. By the way, if you want to change, that right there will work. Just get in the book, find out what Christ wants for your life, let Him direct you, and get after it. It'll work. It's kind of like our lives are kind of like how we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate it without Christ. It's his birthday. Okay? It was his day. And yet, most people leave him out of it. That's how most of our Christianity is. We got saved by Christ, but it kind of just ends right there. We don't let him do anything in our life. Jesus needs to be involved. When we think of Jesus, most of us only think of going to church. Listen, there's a lot more to Christ than going to church. He ought to be a part of your life 24/7. Yes, sir. Okay? He is now your Savior. You can have a relationship with him. And by the way, Christ is concerned about everything in your life. Sometimes we think Jesus is only concerned when we rip open our Bibles. Jesus is concerned about you from the minute you get up until the minute you go to sleep, and he's even concerned about you when you go to sleep. He wants to be a part of everything in your life. What we do is we kind of put him in a box. Jesus is kind of my Sunday thing, but when I go to work, Jesus is nowhere to be found. And I'm not saying you need to wear a shirt to work that says turn or burn or any of that nonsense, okay? But I'm saying he ought to be there with you. Every decision you make, Jesus ought to be a part of it. Everything you do, Jesus ought to be a part of it. If you want to change, you better let Jesus be a part. Also, Jesus is involved, but also chances were taken. He said, listen, launch out into the deep. Launch out, just get out there. Just go. Do what I said. He was tired. They worked all night. For the time of day that they were going to go fishing now, the deep was not the best place to fish. These guys knew that. But because Jesus told them to do it, he did it. That's taking a chance. Most people are afraid to take a chance. By the way, if you're a newer Christian, I say this with love. Sometimes we don't want to change our life because we're afraid to take that chance. Right? We want just enough of Jesus to try to make a little difference. We just don't want to be radical. I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you really want God to change your life, you've got to jump all the way in. Amen. You can't hang around the shore. You got to get out to the deep. You got to take that chance. Say, well, I may be different. You will be different in a good way. But you know, things in my life, they're going to change. No, they will change. But you got to take that chance. Chance must be taken. We also see that a course must be followed. Jesus told him what to do. He said, and let down your nets for a drought. And Peter replied back to him after he told him nothing worked. He goes, nevertheless, at thy word. You know what Peter was saying? I just told you that it didn't work. It just didn't happen. But because you told me to, I'll follow your plan. By the way, every Christian ought to follow God's plan. Say, how do I know what God's plan is? Well, very simple. Of course, we understand anything the Bible tells us to do is God's plan for our life. So we're supposed to do it. If God tells us to do something and we're supposed to do it, then we need to do it. And if it's something we need to put in our schedule, you need to put it in our schedule and get it done. Okay? We have to do it. But God also will direct us along our path to what he wants for us. By the way, don't be afraid of that. Some of you young folks, I give my life to God, I'm going to be a missionary to Outer Mongolia. Well, maybe you'll be a missionary to Inner Mongolia. I don't know. But we seem to think that God's going to put us somewhere or have us do something that we would be miserable doing. It doesn't work that way. God loves us and knows what's best for us. He's going to put us right where we will be enjoy doing what he tells us to do. Amen. See, don't buy that lie of the devil. Well, you know, you Christians, you don't have fun. You don't do this. You don't do this. Listen, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of joy. And that other garbage doesn't bring joy. Yep. Anybody that got saved later on in life, you know that to be true. Following Christ brings joy. Letting him, it's good to know that we don't have to just kind of wing it in this life. Man, we have a path we can follow. It's very clear. We have a purpose in life. We're not just going from day to day to pay the bills and try to put a little bit of money and stash it away in a bank. That's not what a life is about. There's much more to it than that. If we only let him work in our life and we follow his course. And if we're going to do this, we need to understand that change must be expected. Change. We have to do what he says. When we do what he says, by very nature, we will change. You're never going to get better. You're never going to get to where you really want to be unless you're willing to change to get there. Too often, we're waiting for the world to change. We're waiting for other people to change. Listen, I can't control the world. I can't control other people. I can control one person, myself. If we're not willing to change, we're never going to be different. The problem is most people have goals and desires, but it's like Proverbs says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. In other words, everybody has goals and dreams, but we're not willing to put them into action. We're not willing to change ourselves to make sure we do the things we're supposed to do to hit those goals, to see those desires come to pass. And you know what it does? It frustrates us. If your life's not going the way you want it to go right now and you're saved and you know it can go better, you're frustrated inside. Yes, you are. So, I'm a Christian. I just go do my own thing and it doesn't bother me. I doubt if you're a Christian because it'll bother you. But if you're like, man, I'm not there and I want now. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about perfection. All of us have somewhere to go. Amen. And if you're going the right way and you're making progress, be okay with that. I'm just talking about you just like, man, things aren't what they should be. I'm tired of all the drama. I'm tired of the mess in my life. I'm tired of all that stuff. Listen, then you got to be willing to change to get what you want. Peter was willing to change. Look at your life today. Look at this last year. By the way, all of us can look back and there's things we want. There's areas we want to improve. My question is, what are you going to do to improve it? Have you identified some things in your life and says that and say to yourself, that didn't work. That's not right. And have you made the necessary plans and are you willing to make the changes and do what you're supposed to do to see it come to fruition this year? It'd be nice if we could look back next year and say, you know, I'm not perfect, but I made some progress this year. I'm closer to God. My relationships are getting a little bit better. I have a little more purpose in life. I'm trying to be a better Christian, and I'm doing the things that it takes to be a better Christian. Or are you going to look back and say, another wasted year? By the way, the tragedy is going to be you're going to get older in life, and you're going to look back and say, what did I accomplish? Who did I help? What is it all about? Let's make the changes we need to make. Let's stand together this morning.